We open the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We thank thee, dear Lord, for this day, a day of rest for our souls, a day where we gather with those of like precious faith, our brothers and our sisters in Christ, our families, our children, and all of our friends who gather with us. We thank thee for this opportunity and pray that as we will open thy word of life, that our hearts would likewise be open to receive thee, to sit at thy feet, to learn of thee, Lord. Reveal thyself unto each one of us. Show us thy power, thy greatness, thy wisdom, thy mercy, thy love. Reveal thyself to each one of us, O Lord, that we would honor thee and glorify thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, I'd like to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and with God's help to begin with verse 18 to the end. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning with verse 18 to the end. This is a message to the church in Thyatira. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, in the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So The last Lord's Day, we had a chapter on in first book of Kings about the King Ahab, and it tells us in there that he had married a woman by the name of Jezebel, which that name is really just synonymous with everything evil to this day. And so I looked a little bit into Jezebel and referenced to this chapter, and how I come to this chapter this morning to read it. But Jezebel was a Phoenician woman, a daughter of a king herself, who Ahab took as his wife and plunged the nation of Israel into idolatry through her influences. And it is a state in which the nation of Israel remained in all the way through the end of their captivity in Babylon. It took 70 years of captivity in Babylon for God to cleanse this nation of the idolatry that it had been taken into through Ahab, through the influences of Jezebel. And Jezebel, when you think of it, it's a name that really, I don't know of anyone that is named the name Jezebel. That's not to say that she would be evil, but it's so synonymous with evil that no one even names their children Jezebel. I don't know of any Jezebel. And so what I'm just saying with that is who Jezebel was in the time that we had read last week and is remembered throughout generation after generation, all the way up until this moment in the book of Revelation where we're reading about a church in Thyatira and the influences that were creeping into the church there. And if we consider today the church of God, as we know it, it is not under direct persecution from the kings of the land. It is not under direct persecution where our doors are being locked with us in here and the building set on fire because we've come to worship and to glorify the name of Jesus. Those things aren't taking place in our lives today. They have in times past. They perhaps do in some areas of the world today. But by and large, the church is infiltrated by the deceitfulness of Satan through the members of the church. And that's a horrible thought. You know, here we read that it talked about those who didn't know the depths of Satan. And Brother John just mentioned in the prayer that the sole purpose of Satan is to kill, destroy, to pillage, to steal. That's his sole aim. And when one gives himself over unto Satan, he will find and he will know the depths of the debauchery and the sin and the evil that comes into our hearts when we give ourselves over unto him. And how is that done? It's done through a dismissing of the gospel, of looking at Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God and never dwelling upon the verses that we read here of where he says his feet are as that of brass and iron. That's always in the Bible is a reference to judgment. It talks about Jesus as coming as a judge. It talks about the judgments of God. And you know, I no question would much rather hear of Jesus in his love, Jesus in his mercy, Jesus in his compassion, Jesus in his forgiveness and his grace and all that he imparts unto those. But with that, as we read in the book of Acts, that all comes place through our repentance toward God and our faith in Jesus Christ. I can't just read about Jesus and his love and mercy and ignore the judgment, because I will never flee to him for mercy unless I hear about his judgment. And that judgment has to be in my thought throughout my entire life as I live it here on this earth. I have to consider that God is a God who is holy. There is no other way to his heart than through repentance, through giving up of self, dying to myself, not just knowing how gracious Jesus is, but accepting that grace through repentance and the forgiveness of my sins. Because it tells us here that God will judge us, as throughout Scripture tells us over and over again, that we are not saved by our works. We are not saved by our works, but we are judged by our works. Because we are saved by our faith, and the faith that we profess, the faith that we embrace, will produce the works of salvation. But if your heart and my heart is not right with God, and that means that I dismiss any teaching of Jesus Christ, any teaching of Jesus Christ, That means the whole gospel, which Apostle Paul says is the power of salvation. The entire gospel is the power of salvation. You want to dismiss any part of that gospel? That means I will infiltrate the church with something that is not gospel. And it will disturb others. They will take my side. They will take your side. There is going to be divisions. There's going to be mayhem in the holy church of God. That's what Satan uses today. He uses you and he uses me to infiltrate his church. You see it over and over. Churches split, and they split, and they split, and they split. And they're going to keep splitting until repentance takes place. And when we know the gospel and embrace who Jesus Christ is and come to know him, he says here in the end, and I will give him the morning star. We know what the morning star is. It is that ray of hope in the darkness. When it's the darkest part of the night, shines that ray of light, the dawning of a day. And it's Jesus Christ as that morning star. He is all, and he has to be all. And he will give us all to those who worship him and serve him. Thyatira was a city that was really a crossroads city. So it was a city of commerce and trade. And therein is a church that is planted. And Jesus Christ, he gives the longest, this is the longest address to any of the churches that are addressed here in the book of Revelation. The longest one is given to Thyatira. And I have to say, I don't know if I've ever really preached from this portion of Scripture before. I couldn't remember it. But when we look at it, it talks about things that at face value, when we read it, oh, that doesn't apply to us. And maybe that's why, if I haven't read it, maybe I haven't read it for that reason. I don't know. But we could easily say, well, there's no Jezebel in our midst who is leading the church into idolatry and fornication. And that's not really taking place. So we can't really make this into applicable to our church today. And if we read about Apostle Paul, he tells us that he had not known sin unless he was told that to covet is a sin of idolatry. And so, yes, maybe we don't have a Jezebel in a sense, you know, and I don't know that there was an actual Jezebel by the name of Jezebel in the church of Thyatira, but she was a member of the church. She was a daughter. She was a sister in Christ, a daughter of God in the church. And in the church, she was setting about. Now, you know, as I read about a little bit about the history of Thyatira, I see that it was a city that was known, and perhaps that's why Jesus is bringing out these things about the iron and the brass. It was a city that was known for its construction of these idols and things made of brass and iron and different things like that. But they had trade unions in those days, known as guilds, who you would have to become a member of them to even maybe get a job that is well-paying and able to sustain a family or to be able to work and to have that which is necessary. And they would actually then force you to accept their practices, or you're not going to have a job. And let's fast forward to today, right now, where the day in which you and I live in, you know, that which was unheard of before is coming to take place. If a man says, "I am a woman," and you have to say that I am a woman, and then your company that you work for embraces that, and you have to bow down to that, and you have to address someone as a woman, knowing they're a man, you're bearing false witness, in essence. Are you ready to bear false witness? Are you ready to say, well, those are the times we live in. We can't make our stand for that which God speaks against. You know, today, the way that the world works is they don't want to take Christ or religion, I should say, out at all. No, they want to promote religion, but they want to synchronize all religions as they want to make morality relative to you and to you and to me. Whatever I see that is moral, as acceptable, it's good for all. And we have to become tolerant. Tolerance is the word of the day. Be tolerant. If not, you're a bigot. You're no good. In one of the inaugural addresses of the president, they'd called a preacher man to come and to speak and to pray at the inauguration. And they found out that he did not believe in gay marriage. So they pushed him aside. And they brought in the bishop of the Episcopal Church who had left his wife and became married to a man. And they called him to come and pray, shoving it down our throats. They're not taking away religion. Yeah, come, pray. But be accepting. Accept everybody. Don't make that stand. You're not going to make it in this world. Is that taking place in Thyatira? And Jezebel, or the woman here who is speaking authoritatively, who has no right by the word of God to have any authority and to usurp any authority over a man in the church, is leading men and women alike into practices of idolatry, immorality, through the acceptance of the standards of the guilds or the unions, the trade unions, or whatever the city in its state was promoting. You know, maybe you and I one day will not be able to work for a living because we cannot accept the practices. What is that mark of the beast? Is it a stamp, a rubber stamp on my forehead that shines out? What is it? It could be that you are marked, that you cannot work because you are not accepting and tolerant and saying that evil is good and good is evil. As I practice my religion in private with my church here, that nobody knows, you know, let's just stick to ourselves. Let's just be quiet. Let's not make a fuss. You know, in the times of the apostles, Peter and John were preaching in the name of Christ, and they healed many people. Many people, lame men, were made to walk, and they told them, "We forbid you to preach the name of Jesus. You're not allowed to preach Jesus." They didn't tell them you can't heal, but don't speak about Jesus. Because they know, they knew, the world knew, the world's leaders knew who Jesus stands, what he stands for, who he is, and the life he lived. If you're going to make a stand for Jesus, you will be ostracized. Jesus says that to us. Are we? Do we blend right in with the world? As Peter says, are we strangers and pilgrims in this world? Or do we rub shoulders with the most evil of people just to give me that dollar that you got? And I'm not going to tell you anything about your evil practice. I'm just going to practice my religion in my corner, in my church, where I'm going to sing the praises, and I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to preach. But in my private life, just don't talk about Jesus. Don't let that light shine, because you might be different. You may no longer be. You will become a stranger then, if you're different. You're no longer as accepted. You're tolerant. It's the word of the day today. And Jesus tells us here, he's going to come. He says, I will. But look at who Jesus is. He goes, I gave her space to repent. I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. You and I, as we reflect upon the deeds of our day, and when we find anything in our day, don't justify it, brothers and sisters. Let's not justify who I am, what I've become, how I've become intolerant of my brother and sister in Christ. But I've embraced the world. But as I look upon my deeds and who I am, what I profess and what I live. You know, in a beautiful a prayer, when Hannah, who was childless and prayed to God that he would give her a child, and he told her, you're going to bear a child and his name will be Samuel. And she prays. Hannah prays. And she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. She says, talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. Who's going to weigh your actions? God is. God is. Not me. I could say, well, I understand. Okay, I get it. No, God is going to weigh your actions. There is none holy like him. There's no one as pure whose eyes are like a refiner's fire, who will weigh your actions. No one. But God himself. Now let's take our actions and justify them. To who? Who are you going to justify them to? To God? Who is pure, holy? We know that the story of the writing on the wall, a finger. Imagine if a finger just appeared on the wall here and starts writing. That you're weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. Maybe us collectively as a church. Individually, because we tolerate that Jezebel, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean a woman. We tolerate that which is intolerable by God in the church. It's okay. Everyone will live according to their faith. Does not mean that we, as a church, or as the church of God abroad, Let's everyone live as they please, and it's going to be according to their own faith. You know, no, it's not going to be according to their faith in the sense that, well, I believe that it's okay to marry another man if I'm a man. As that Episcopal minister or preacher or bishop accepted. And what died with that? The entire church goes down. The entire church. Because you cannot preach lies and accept and expect a church to grow. Cannot happen. That's what's taking place in the church of Thyatira. Truth is set aside. Lies are coming in. And the church, the gospel, the power of salvation gets watered down. Now, when you think about a watering down of a gospel, which is the power of salvation, it's no gospel at all. There's no power. There's no power. If I can tell you, I can be angry at you, and I can yell at you, and I can treat you as less than me, but I'm going to do everything else. I'm going to be an example to my neighbors. I'm going to live a life of giving and everything, and say that I'm a good. When I look upon those deeds and I think about that, do I see that in Christ? Is He my example? No. So who is? I've come to know the depths of Satan, his hatred, his lying, his killing. Because anger and hatred kills a man. It doesn't lift him up, it kills him. He dies a death. When you have hatred in your heart, brothers and sisters, we are dying. There is no hope. There is no morning star. There is no power. Satan came into the church through me. If I've allowed that in my heart. And that's not just one example. You could talk about everything that is not gospel. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And God and Jesus told that to the woman, to none other than a Samaritan woman at a well who was living in sin. He tells her, God is a spirit. And all who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 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 Don't hang on to a lie. Don't hang on to that which is not truth for one moment. It leads you into hell. Fire. You cannot live a Christian life, embrace something, and live a lie in any smallest thing. You know it's not true, and you testify it is true. Repent. Repent. Jesus is giving us space to repent. That's a loving God. He doesn't judge us immediately. He reminds us. He tells us. This isn't written here for us to just skim over. It's to think about, what is my life like? You can't judge it by the world's standards. The world's standards are not on the rock, as Hannah prayed, is the only rock of Jesus Christ. It's not built on that. It's built on hell. The standards of the world are hell. God says that. God says that. And so do we slowly embrace tolerance? Okay, slowly just accept. Yeah, but, you know, she's a good sister otherwise. He's a good brother otherwise. That's his weakness. No, what you and I are to do, when you know that I am weak, and in what I am weak in, you come to gain me. You come to tell me, brother, you need to repent. This is an action that is not based on the power of salvation, on the gospel, of who Jesus is. God is a God of mercy, not tolerance. Then he's not holy. If he's tolerant of sin, he's not holy. He's not tolerant here when he tells you, I gave her space to repent. He'd rather you repent. That's why he sent Jonah to Nineveh. Go and preach and let them know that judgment is coming. He didn't look at them and say, judgment is coming. He says, go tell them judgment is coming. And so he tells us, judgment is coming. Repent. It's for all of us here, brothers and sisters. None of us are too good. None of us are too good to point fingers at anybody. Point it at ourselves. Where have I failed? Why can't I come and greet you? Because there's no peace. There's no peace. If there's no peace, how do I proclaim to know the God of peace? No one should not be able to go and greet another brother or sister. If you can't, things need to be sit down and worked out. They have to be. They have to be. According to the scripture and none other. So he says here, he says, I will kill her children with death. And I don't believe that literally means this woman's children. It means her followers. Just as Timothy was called Paul's son, my child, my son. So I think, believe that Jesus is talking here about anyone who follows those ways of untruth become the children of lies. And their ultimate end is destruction. So we have to be careful who we follow, what we follow. Is it based upon the power of unto salvation, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety, leaving nothing out? You're going to be a stranger. We're going to be strangers. We're going to be pilgrims. We're going to be different. But we never should be different as we are today. Right now, come together. We should not be different. We should not be different. Our faith must be the same. It must be the same. Because, and I'm not talking about if your faith says you should only wear blue and my faith says you should only wear black. That's not faith. That's not faith at all. You're not going to find that anywhere in Scripture. We're talking about the faith of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the gospel of salvation. We're talking about who Jesus is, the rock, the one who weighs every one of our actions. Are we wanting? What would you do right now if a fingers came up in the wall and says, I've weighed you in the balances? You're not there. What would you do? Judgment came. I know one thing. We would know why. We would know. So why don't we know now? Because it's going to take something. It's going to require humility. The hardest thing for a proud man to do is to give up his pride. And every one of us, every man and every woman has pride within them. When I say mine, that's pride. Mine, pride. When I say anything that is pointing to me, it's pride. A child does it from the smallest, when he can't even talk yet. He grabs it. It's his. He wants it. It's pride. Born with it. You're not born selfless. We become selfless through the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. That's how we become meek and lowly as the Lamb, Jesus. And so, as we contemplate he says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden but that which you have already That which you have already, hold fast till I come. Hold. If you haven't embraced these untruths and lies and living in a life of deceit, deception, tolerance for sin, if you haven't embraced it, then hold on to that which you do have. Because you know what you do have? The gospel. That's what you have, the gospel. Hold on to it. Hold on until I come, and I will give you me, he says. And he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so the question for us today is, did we come with ears to hear? Are we going to reject the word? Maybe the delivery? Maybe you don't like the preacher? You can't accept anything he says? How did we come? Did we come with hearts on a day of worship? If you came that way, and if I came that way, and if I am that way, then I came for naught. But we could come that way, and God could change us right now. He could change us. But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to be humbled, to be made low, so that Christ would rise within us, live within us. And so that there is no tolerance for sin in my own life, in my own heart, and that I can be a beacon of hope for others who don't know God, that I can preach about Jesus and talk about him to those people that I meet, and for them to see that there is a life that is worth living. It's a life of joy and peace. So may we, beloved, embrace Jesus Christ and him crucified, his gospel, his message, and only his. And it will be well with us. He tells us here, he is the one who weighs our actions. Judgment will begin at the house of the Lord. And where are those? Where do those expect to be found who've lived in tolerance? Not intolerance, in tolerance of sin on self and on others. If I don't care about you, then I don't have the love of God in me. If I can tolerate sin in you, I don't have the love of God in me. But if I want to address you because of pride, I'm going to show you, I'm going to tell you your place. I'm going to show you you're the one that's wrong and say, well, you know, if you can hardly wait to come and tell somebody that they're wrong, you're wrong. Don't even go. Don't even go. You're not doing God's work. So may God lead us into the truths in which alone we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen.
It's comforting to hear the words of truth. It's uncomfortable to hear lies. Thank God that we have the words of Christ, the words of truth. This morning we read the words of Christ, where he says, all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every man, every one of you, according to your works. These are the words that we read this morning. At the end of the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. These are true words, and they're comforting words. We rejoice in them. We know that we will be judged for our works. Our works should be measured against the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So if we take stock of our works and know that Jesus Christ will judge us according to our works, And that measurement is based on whether he or she, how we measure up to them. We are unwise. We are unwise. That's not truth. Jesus says, deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. We are to walk in the ways of Christ and measure ourselves unto Christ and his words and the gospel. And then we know that we are walking in truth. We are walking according to his ways, and that when he comes, we can rejoice and know that by his grace, we have lived a life that was yielded to him, and that we would hear those blessed words as we prayed together. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.